Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. Praise God, thank God. This is Thursday. We thank and praise the Lord for Thursday. Thank God for allowing us to see this day. And we thank God for each and every one who tune in to the broadcast. We thank and praise the Lord for Apostle Armstrong and Lady Armstrong. We thank God for the awesome assignment that God gave them pertaining to the broadcast and how the broadcast is reaching and all over the world. We just thank and praise the Lord what the Lord is doing in this hour and this time among his people. I say this a lot, repetitious really. If it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, I know I would have been consumed by the enemy. A lot of time I tell, you know, people sometime in conversation, if I wouldn't say, I know way I could deal with a lot of things that I have to deal with on earth. I say, I'd be somewhere in the corner flipping my lips, you know. But I truly thank and praise the Lord every day that I'm saved. And I thank and praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit that abide on the inside of me, that is always there to help me along the way. And that's what I love about the Lord. Jesus said that he would never leave us, nor would he forsake us. And y'all, I tell you, when we need the Lord will always be there for us. Hear me good. Regardless of what you might be facing today, you know, sometimes we labor things. It's a hard thing. And I experienced some this week was a hard thing, but I'm so grateful that the Lord strengthened me and the Lord saw me through. I thank and praise the Lord for the saints for praying for me. And I just thank and praise God for being saved. I thank the Lord for being a faithful father. And I tell you, he's just a good God. That just, you know, that's, I can't say it no nothing better than that. God just a great father. And he's concerned about everybody. We've been talking about, we're in Matthew the 18th chapter, and we're doing the study, and we're going to teach it on it as the Lord give us. We're going to do the entire chapter. And we were saying how so many times people begin, instead of starting with Matthew, the third verse, they'll skip the first verse and they'll go all the way down to that 18th verse, if I'm not making a mistake. And they'll start binding and, come on now, they'll go all the way. They'll start at that 18th verse. They'll skip the first 17 verses and they'll drop down to that 18th verse and start saying whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Then they'll do the 19th verse. Again, I say, if any of you touching it agreeing. But if you read Matthew 18 in its entirety, it's talking about agreement. It's talking about offenses. It's talking about how to be reconciled. The Bible tells us that God was in Jesus reconciling us back to himself. And there too, again, God loved all race of people. You know, all of us came from God. And God is concerned about all race of people, regardless to how far you done strayed away from God or regardless of what you done did in life. Jesus came to make a way and make it possible that you could be reconciled back to the Father. Apostle Paul said, God have given us the spirit of reconciliation. And that's one of the assignment of the believers. Yeah, in this world, the Bible told us in the Word, you're going to have tribulation. I think that's St. John, the 16th chapter. But he told us to be of good cheer because he overcome the world. And this particular, in Matthew 18, it's talking about the kingdom, how that the kingdom laws and principle is so different from the laws and principles in the world. And once you get born again, you know, I was writing some notes down. But once we get born again, we have to live by a different system. Yes, it's not but two races of people, believe it or not. It's the believer and the unbeliever. Now, when you get away from that, if your spiritual eyes have not come open, we have a tendency to label people based on the color of their skin. That's not the way that God operates. That's from the kingdom of darkness. And I tell you, that's why I tell people, you know, it's so important that once you get born again, that you get in there and get in the Word. Romans the 12th chapter, Paul said, do not be conformed to this world, but he said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you get born again and you don't renew your mind by getting in the Word of God, finding out how God requires you to live after you receive Jesus, you will continue, hear me good, you will continue to operate according to that old mindset. You'll continue to do the things that you used to do. Yeah, you'll find yourself doing it. You'll find yourself falling back into it. And, you know, I found out, you know, also a lot of times people don't realize that they'll say, yeah, I know. But the Bible tells us faith without work is dead. In other words, faith is not believing something, but it's acting on what you say you believe. And faith without corresponding action is not faith. And that's too a different. But there too, again, we're going to continue in Matthew the 8th chapter. I'm just going to do a little view, and I'm going to come up because I told you we read the first five verses, and that's what we start out. But we're going to go in this entirely, and what I'm going to do today, I'm going to read it from the Living Bible. I read it from the Amplified, but I'm finna read it from the Living Bible. In the Living Bible, at the 18th verse, let me pray. Father, again, we thank and praise you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for truly we declare that this is the day that you have made, and we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Father, for revelation understanding. As we go into your word, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that have been released over the airways to bring clarity and understanding to those that would tune in. We just thank you that the Holy Spirit power is at work to those. Those that have tuned in, the Holy Spirit is at work in you right now. If you tune into this broadcast, I'm expecting and I know the Holy Spirit going to do a work. He going to transform your life. He going to bring enlightenment. He going to bring understanding to you because that is his assignment. Father, I thank you for those that have tuned in. I thank you that by your grace, I will decrease, that you will increase. I thank you, Father, for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know, what brought this about, and I tell you that more, I study it, I see it more clearly than ever. The enemy have really attacked the body of Christ. Yes, yes, yes. Whether you believe it or not, the enemy have attacked the body of Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. He already doing it in the world, but I'm telling you, as born-again believers, you need to know that the enemy have attacked the body of Christ. He the one, and Jesus even talked about how a house that divided against itself would not stand, and Satan divided against himself cannot stand. That's in Mark 3:25-26. And as I said, Satan is doing his best to divide and conquer the body of Christ by using the spirit of strife and the spirit of confusion, which is associated with the spirit of division. And you know, a lot of people want somebody to prophesy to them, but this is the word from the Lord. I want you to hear this. Satan is doing his very best to divide and conquer the body of Christ by using the spirit of strife. I want you to hear me. By using the spirit of strife and the spirit of confusion, which is associated with the spirit of division. And what he's trying to do, he's trying to stop the church from increasing in the things of God. And that's why he's bringing it to separate us. And he's been doing it all along. If that's why if you go in Matthew, the 24th chapter, and beginning that very verse, Jesus said, let no man deceive you. He talked about how nations going to be coming against nation and kingdom against kingdom. He talked about ethnic group. And the enemy is fight. He fight. He trying to bring separation through denomination. He trying to bring division and strife among the believers. Come on, somebody. And these are some things that we as born-again believers, I want you to hear me, as born-again believers, we need to really take this in consideration. Hear me good. We need to really take it in consideration. And I'm telling you, he trying to bring division and separation. And I'm telling you, very denominational rising up against one another. And some ministry trying to exalt themselves above other ministry. And that's the spirit of division at work in the world. We're about to see a spirit of separation, a spirit of racism on the planet like never before. And you know what I love about the Holy Spirit? If we listen, the Lord is always, by the way of the Holy Spirit, he always warn us and try. I use the word try because when I found out God would not override our will, God would not override, God would not violate your will, but the Holy Spirit would always warn us about things and prepare us for things before it happened. And we sin like never before. Like I said, that spirit of separation and division, it have invaded the body of Christ. Look at the divorces now. The divorce rate done rise up. It's in the body of Christ, and it shouldn't be. Yes, I'm just going to go and say that if you've been born again and you feel with you saying that you've been born again, you feel with the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, then guess what? You ought to be able to let the Holy Spirit lead you. And these some of the things sometimes, y'all, we don't like to hear. And I found that to be true one time in my own life. You know, we don't like for nobody that tell us about us. That's carnality. You don't want nobody to tell you about you. But I found out after I got born again, the Holy Spirit taught the Prophet Miller more about Prophet Miller than he do you. Come on, somebody. You know, most when I'm reading my Bible, God is talking to me about me. He relayed to me what God required me to do. And I'm telling you, a Christian, a born-again believer, our lifestyle is different. It's just like the enemy will have the homosexuals and the lesbians to believe that the saints hate them. No, they don't. We don't hate anybody, but we dislike their lifestyle. And that's it. God dislikes anybody's lifestyle if it's a lifestyle of sin. That just it. God is a holy God. God is a God of integrity. He's a God of righteousness, you know, and that's the way it works. And that's why you in this time, in the hour we live in, we as believers got to be on our watch. Hear me good. We got to be on our watch because, as I stated, Satan is trying to he done invaded the church with separation, with division, with strife, jealousy and envy. He do not want to see the body of Christ work together. And like I said, when you read Matthew 18 and it's dealing with offenses, it's dealing with pride, and it's dealing with agreement. You're going to find that it's talking about the power of agreement, but in the first 17 verses, it started out dealing with pride, and then it bring us into humility, how we supposed to arm ourselves, so like how we supposed to depend upon the Lord like a child depend upon their parents. And I'm telling you, you have to watch it. I don't know about you. I done had many opportunities that get in offenses. And I want you to understand what I'm saying. Offenses come to everybody. You're going to find it out. But the Bible tells us, woe who it come through. And like I said, we as born-again believers, When you make, according to Matthew 13, Mark the 4th, when you make up in your mind to serve God, trouble going to find you. That just it. But as born-again believers, the Holy Spirit would teach us through the Word of God how to avoid it and how to overcome it. Okay? So there too, again, like I said, Satan is out to disrupt the power of agreement in the life of every born-again child of God. I want you to hear me again. I'm going to say this again. This is a word of prophecy, believe it or not. This is a word that wants you, God wants you. The enemy is, and he bringing division and separation among the body of Christ. He's doing it because he know if the body of Christ will walk in total agreement with what the word of God said, it will shut the door. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, I believe, he said, neither give place to the devil. Well, how do we give place to him? When we choose not to be a doer, a listener, a reading the word of God, that's what messed us up. I want you, this is so important. And as I said, I'm telling you, Satan is out to disrupt the power of agreement in the lives of every born-again child of God. He is trying to demolish agreement in every area of our life, in marriage, in family relationship, in friendship relationship, business social, and race relations. And I'm telling you, that's what he's doing. And that's why I said, a lot of times people say, well, I just don't believe that. Listen, you don't have to believe what I said. Read your Bible. Matthew, the 24th chapter. I love it. Matthew, the 24th chapter. Tell us what's going to be taking place. And he's talking about the believers. The love of many going to wax cold. Disappointment do something to you. If you don't know how to overcome and endure disappointment, it can mess you up. It can open you up for bitterness. It can open you up for resentment. The Bible says where envy is Christ, I think that's in James, it tells us confusion. And the enemy always bringing confusion. The Bible tells us in the book of Amos, how can two walk together except they agree? Agreement is so powerful. That's why in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, when those in that upper room, men, the apostles and females and all of them, it was 120, which they was in the upper room. And when they came in total agreement, I ain't talking about just in words, but when their heart was in line with, when their words was in line with their heart, the Holy Ghost came. That's what did it. It was all different kind of people, some different race of people, but they were in covenant, and they were seeking out and expecting the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost to come, because Jesus told them what to do. He said, wait till the promise. He talked about the Holy Spirit starting in the gospel. I think it's St. John. He talked about it through the from the mostly 14, 15 to 16. He talked about the Holy Ghost were going to come, and he told them that they needed to wait on the promise. But the Holy Spirit is the one that keep us in harmony. He the one that released the ability, the power to us. He the one that bring conviction. And I'm telling you, I sense this strong in my spirit as I'm saying it to you, that these are the spirit, I'm talking about the spirit of division. A house divided cannot stand. From the White House to your house, if you got a family, if you married, if you can sit back and if you ask the Holy Spirit to open up your eye, open up my eyes, for the spirit of division is trying to invade my house, trying to invade my marriage, between me and my spouse, between me and my church, between me and the people that work with me on the job, between me and the saints. I'm telling you, the spirit of division is here. You know, and if we would just do it the way the Bible tell us to do it, you know, and you know, as I stated on Monday, but I'm telling you, this is so important, the spirit of division. And that's why I say this is so important. This is a right now word. I want you to hear me. This is a right now word. And we have some things, like I said, our same things happening. Like I said, it's happening all over the world. But my point is, when it comes down to the body of Christ, we are representative of Christ. We are ambassador for Christ. And we supposed to deal with it different than the world. We're not supposed to allow ourselves, listen at me, I'm saying we're not supposed to allow ourselves to be overtaken when it comes down to scribe, separation in division. We have the spirit of reconciliation in the, I'm kind of getting a little ahead of myself because this has really been ringing in my spirit. And I'm asking the Lord to help me. I woke up the other day, other morning, and God was talking to me about some things, about some peoples in my life. And he was saying that, you know, I was talking to him about some people, and he said, well, man, and I said, you know, Lord, I said, I pray. I ask you first, God, to forgive me. If I call so-and-so to be offended with me, I'm asking you to forgive me. Now, you know, some people say, well, y'all, let me tell you something. When it comes down to the power of God, we need it. And Satan is a thief, according to John 10:10. And as a thief, he come to steal, kill, and to destroy. The devil will try to steal. He'll try to steal your joy. He'll steal your peace. He'll destroy your relationships. Come on, somebody. And these are things that we need to be watchful for. And that's why when Jesus, even with them disciples, he started out, those disciples went, came to Jesus, asking Jesus, who is the greatest? That was, they were dealing with, that was carnality. Who the greatest in you? And look what he said. But let me read it. I'm in the Living Bible. He said, Matthew 18:1. It's about that time the disciple came to Jesus and asked, which of us is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Ain't that selfishness? They were thinking fleshly, carnal-minded. They were being carnal-minded. And I love the book of Corinthians, because if you go to the first and read 1 Corinthians, it talks about how Paul was dealing with born again believer, new convert. He was telling them how they supposed to live when it based upon when it come down to one another. He talked about how to walk in the spirit, how to walk in agreement. He was telling them that how in 1 Corinthians, I think it's the 12th chapter, he was talking about the being the body, what it means, how God compared the spiritual body to the natural body. And you know, I'm an African American female, but guess what? It's some white born-again believer. Well, guess what? We won. And I'm telling you, this is happening in the body of Christ. And we, as born-again believers, we need to shut the door. But he went on and said, Jesus called a small child over to him and put the child among them. Then he said, I assure you, unless you turn from your sins and become as a little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, anyone who become as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, you hear what he's saying? He was talking about you got to humble yourself. In the kingdom of God, it's not about, it ain't no big eyes and little U's in the kingdom. And that's why in Romans the 12th chapter, we have to get our mind renewed so we can learn how to walk in this new system. We are in the kingdom. And we as kingdom citizens, we got to know how to cooperate with other kingdom citizens, that their background from the natural perspective is different than ours. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, new creation. That's what he said. And that means you cannot go back and live the way you did before you got born again, because before you got born again, you was an unbeliever. It was easy for you to yield to offenses, bitterness, and resentment and hatred, because that was your nature at that time. You had a sin nature. But once you got born again, the Bible tells us we'll be translated out of one kingdom into the kingdom of God. is the assignment. And this is so important. And that's all of us. I ain't just talking about just Prophet Miller, but I'm talking about we as born again believers, we need to be on the watch. On the watch. We need to watch it. And when we see where envy is inscribed, when we see things that come in and try to separate us or cause enough to us to fight against one another, we need to stop it. You stop it first with your lips. Don't come in agreement when other people want to talk about another born-again belief. Well, prophet, if they gifted, they just get. Well, if they gifted, the Bible says the righteous covered. You ought to pray for them. If not that, call them up or go to them and talk to them. Oh, man, I'm getting ahead of myself because this is so good. But he was telling them. He said, Jesus called a small child over to him and put the child among them. Then he said, I assure you, unless you turn from your sin and become as a little, listen, I assure you, unless you turn from your sins and become as a little child, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. Now, with Jesus telling them, y'all coming, want to know who the greatest. But see, God don't look at greatness from the way we view greatness. We view greatness about maybe your education, maybe your cooperation or what your material goods that you got. Come on, somebody. Jesus don't he don't see greatness like we do. Not in the kingdom of God. It don't operate, and that's why it's a stated. It's so important. Listen at me. That's why it's so important. It's so important that when we come in the kingdom, it's so important that when we come in the kingdom, we got the know-how. Hear me good, my brother, my sister. When we come in the kingdom, we have to get our mind renewed. We're in a whole new dispensation, a different system, and we have to know how to operate this kingdom. You see, Jesus came to help us to rediscover the kingdom that God started with the first Adam. And Adam and Eve failed because of disobedience. They choose, as an act of their will, to disobey what God told them not to do. And believe it or not, just like God didn't stop them, he ain't going to stop me and you. Because as I stated, we have a will. And I'm telling you, and I said this before, and, you know, contention, division is strife. You got to watch it. For where envy is strife, there is confusion, every evil work. That's James 3:16. If it's division there, it can't be no agreement there. If strife and contention is there, it can't be no agreement. Come on, somebody. And these are some of the things that we as born-again believe, and that's what Jesus was trying to get them to see. It's no long range in the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to see that because this is so important. Okay? Now, what we're going to do, as I read some, like I said, I read the first five verses from the Living Bible. And, y'all, I am so compassionate about this. Because, like I said, I have the opportunity to get in offenses, unforgiveness, scribe. Yes, I do. You know, that was one thing that when I got born again, that I was very disturbed. Because I thought when you get saved, when you get into church and you get right as saints, you ain't going to see no scribe. Everybody going to be forgiving and loving to one another and not get, you know, backbiting and all of this. God, when I start seeing that in the body, and I've been saved for some years now, and I still see it. And whenever I see it, I'm not going to be a part of it. Because that's not God. That's not Christ-like. That's not the way the kingdom is run. Amen. And this is what Jesus was saying to those. Okay? Now, I'm going to switch over. I'll be switching because I like different translations. Okay? Then we're going to drop down in that fifth verse. That's what we're supposed to be starting. At that fifth verse, it said, whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Look at the sixth verse. But whoso But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it would be better for him that a millstone were hung about his neck, and that he would be drowned in the depths of the sea. Now, some people might say, well, Prophet Miller, the full gospel is part of the old covenant, but what it's doing, it's ending the old covenant, bringing us into the new covenant. Have you ever noticed how Jesus in Matthew, Jesus said certain things? It tells us that the red writing is Jesus speaking. And you know, as I go back and study this, Jesus was revealing to us in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, what the kingdom of God is, how we supposed to conduct ourselves. That's what he was doing. That's why he was saying when he addressed the voices in the 19th chapter, he was saying from the beginning, it was never God's will for man to get a divorce from his wife. The reason why he said a man get a divorce from his wife, because at this time, the males were more in control. They was in control more than the women. Women hadn't been liberated. I spoke on that a couple of weeks ago, how God liberated us females. But that don't give us the right to operate and trying to dominate the male. No, God never intended for humans to dominate one another. That was never God's intention. God never gave us authority over one another. And sometimes leaders, they forget that. Even if you're a fivefold minister, give God have not graced you with the authority to dominate people. You have to recognize and consider they will like God. As much as God loves us, but God don't dominate us. God is awesome all by himself. God can do anything but fail. But we, a lot of times, as leaders in the hour and the time we live, the enemy get in there and have a leader feel that they're supposed to dominate the people. You do not dominate nobody. Parents not supposed to dominate your children. Yeah, amen. I said it. That's true. But you're supposed to develop the kind of relationship to let your children know I'm the parent and you the child. Now, you don't let a child do what they want to do because the Bible says that the word of correction would drive foolishness out. Children have to be chastised. They have to be disciplined. That just the way God established this thing. You know, so there too again, but he said, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it would be better for him that a millstone were hung about his neck and that he would be drowned in the depths of the sea. Other words, what he was saying, we should never cause a little child to stumble. Come on, somebody, come on. I'm talking good. That's what he was saying. That's why he was saying you got to humble yourself like a little child. Now, God ain't, you know, people used to say, well, I'm going to pray that God humble me. No, God ain't going to humble you. Your disobedience, ignorance, and rebellious will humble you. Your circumstance, I found this out, when we violate the laws, let me slow down. When we violate the laws and principles of God, it will humble you. Because the consequences will humble you. But, you know, God is not going to humble you. Now, God allowed things to happen because when you violate his laws and principles, automatically certain things going to take place in your life. But God is not going to humble you. But your disobedient and rebellious will humble you because what it does, his consequences that follow. And this is so important. And that's why I was saying, when he was saying that, that's why he was saying, you have to therefore arm yourself like this little child. He was telling them, you got to do like these little children. You have to what? Humble yourself. But like I said, but then he said, but whosoever, and this coming from the Amplified, like I said, the day I'll be in there living, then I go to the Amplified. But in Matthew 18:6, he said, but whosoever calls one of these little ones who believe in and acknowledge and cleave to me to stumble in sin, that is who entice him, hinder him, and right conducts a thought. They got a problem with that. You see it? Come on now. I'm like I said, I'm in my amplifier. I'm in amplifier. But whosoever calls one of these little ones who believe in, acknowledge, and cleave to me to stumble in sin, that is who entice him or hinder him in the right conduct of thought, it would be better, more expedient, and profitable advantage for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be sunk in the depths of the sea. There too, again, like I said, a lot of times when we go in Matthew 18, a lot of people will they'll look over verse 1 through 17 and they'll jump on the binding. They'll jump on the touching in the, and they'll jump on that. They'll forget about the offenses. They'll forget about it. If they don't call somebody to stumble, but we suppose these are laws and principles of the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus said in Matthew, the 4th chapter, he said that the people need to repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Have a change of mind. And y'all, I'm telling you, I learned this. You just can't hop up and live life like you want to and expect to reap the benefits. Come on, somebody. And expect to reap the benefits that God have for you. And sometimes anybody that have tuned in to the broadcast when we own, I'm repetitious because there too, again, I'm concerned, and our Heavenly Father is concerned about us getting it. Mark, the 4th chapter, that 17th verse, that's what I'm going back to read, and I'm going to read it from the Amplified. Mark 4 and 17. Wait a minute, I'm missing something. You're missing something. It's Matthew 4, and forgive me, it's Matthew 4. Hallelujah. Slow down, preacher, slow down. Matthew, slow down. I'm sorry, it's Matthew, instead of Mark 4, it's Matthew 4 and 17. It said, from that time, Jesus began to preach, crying out, repent, change your mind for the better, hardly amend your ways. You come out about your passing, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I'm telling you, then, like I said, Jesus was telling us how we, as born-again believers, supposed to walk upright before God. He was telling us how we supposed to do it, the way that God wants us to do it. And like I said, when you read Matthew 18 in this entire chapter, you will find out it's talking about the power of agreement. And as I stated in the beginning, Satan go to extreme measure to get you and I out of agreement. He don't want us to be in agreement with one another. You know, he don't. He don't want, and we can let pride stand in our way. You know, I was sharing with one of my spiritual sons this morning, and I was telling him, I said, we have to learn to be okay with one another. We have to learn to be okay with one another. If they don't choose to do what we think they should do, we can't. What I mean when I say we have to be okay, the point I'm making, we can't allow ourselves to get in strife, in contention, division. Y'all, when we know what it does, we have to really be careful with that. Okay, that's the point I'm trying to make. You know, and it's so important. But he was saying, like I said, in that 6th verse, but whosoever calls one of these little ones who believe in me, acknowledge and cleave to me, to stumble in sin, that is to entice him or hinder him. And that there too, he not only just, he talking also about born again believers in general. As a leader, God forbid me to cause not only just other born-again believer, but even in my household, my family, they stumble. we shouldn't be put that stumbling block in nobody's way. I mean, these the words of Jesus. These the words of Jesus. Because anytime, you know, like I said, he telling about these, you don't cause nobody to stumble and entice them. You ever, and I done been around some saints, and I've been immature before in some areas, I'm still immature, but I done been around, honey, you know, so-and-so, did, you know, so-and-so did this to me. Honey, if I were you, I'd go tell them a piece of my mind. That is not the way we Christians supposed to respond to another believer that dealing with offenses or dealing with backbite. If somebody done went around, if they told somebody so, that is not the way we supposed to. We need to tell them, well, you need to pray for them. Better yet, the Bible said go to them and go to them alone. But you don't need to be going around telling everybody. Because I find out sometimes, and you have to be led by the Spirit, because sometimes you go tell somebody how somebody done offend you or somebody you got on. And you know, if them people have something in their heart against that person, they ain't going to tell you the right way to do it. That's why it's so important to read the Bible. Oh, my time about up, and I ain't even got any good. But look what he said in the 7th verse. I'm going to continue. I'm going to continue with this, with the Amplified. He said, woe to the world for such temptation to sin and influence to do wrong. It is necessary that temptation come, but woe to the person on whose account about whom the temptation come. Remind me of some that Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. I'm telling you, when you come into the kingdom of God, you don't, your whole mindset have to change. And that is so important. What you addressing? What I'm addressing today is the spirit of division. And to me, it's suited when it comes down to this whole Matthew the 18th chapter. It's telling you how to avoid division, and it's telling you what to do if division show up. That's right. Because like I said, the enemy, the spirit of division is being used by Satan to invade the church because he know that it's time. Listen, for one thing, and this is what I'm saying, the power of agreement. And as I meditate on this, the more God show it to me. He said, now, and everybody ain't going to walk in peace with you. But if you make up in your mind that you're going to try to walk in peace with everyone, you ain't going to go out here and backbite and be gossiping. He said, and I can bridge the gap. And the power of the Holy Spirit will be released to bring about the peace. It'll bring about reconciliation. Come on. It can reconcile. And that's why I said, we as born again believers, y'all, we need to watch the spirit of division. You know, even with denomination separates us, but Jesus, through his finishing work, he came to bring us to be one. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He calls us to be one. But he said, woe to the world for such temptation to sin and influence to do wrong. It is necessary that temptation come, but woe to the person on whose account about whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, say, cut it off and throw it away from you. It is better, more profitable, and wholesome for you to enter life maimed or lame than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into everlasting fire. He's telling us how to deal with offenses and how we not supposed to cause one another to stumble. Come on, somebody. Like I said, this might not be. And I'm sure somebody probably listening and you don't want to hear it because you might go at first and she don't know what I'm dealing with. You are absolutely right. I do not know. But the Lord know. And that's why he was saying about and I'm going to go back up. Sometimes, y'all, like I said, God wants us to get it. And sometimes we want to hear a message. Oh, why don't they deserve it? And I don't want to hear that. You know, have you ever noticed? And I found this out about me. The message that I don't really want to hear is the one I need to hear. And most of the time, when God starts addressing us, our little issues, if you want to use that terminology, People don't be want to hear that. That's the thing about flesh, don't want to be told what to do about itself. You ever been talking to that? Oh, yeah, child, but you know, that just means, you know, they'll try to brush it off. But Jesus don't do that. But he was saying, woe unto that man. He warned us that we not supposed to be instrument in placing sinful things before others, especially before children, because sometimes we're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to, even with children. Children is so innocent. And I was raised, my dad used to say, do as I say. My dad had said, you pick the good out of it. If I'm doing whatever I'm doing, you pick the good out of it. Don't pick the bad. But that wasn't the way a parent is not supposed to raise his child that way. A parent's supposed to be the example. You don't tell a child to do one thing and you do something. Well, where that come from? That come from our Heavenly Father. Everything that God requires us to do, when Jesus come on this earth, Jesus was the example of the believer. Ain't this amazing when you read the four gospels? Jesus was changing a lot of things. He came to fulfill the law. But he came to make it possible that whatever God said for us to do, we can do it. And I'm telling you, and this is so strong in my spirit now, watch that spirit of division in the body of Christ. It done a spirit of division that invaded the body of Christ. I have heard people get up in a pastor, a minister, get up in the pulpit, and they throw off on one another. That's not the kingdom message. The kingdom, the Bible tells us to preach the good news. Well, this is what Jesus was doing. He was showing us, if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, you humble yourself. What you mean? You humble yourself. That's what he was saying. If you want to be the greatest, he was telling me, listen, if y'all dudes want to be the greatest in the kingdom, he was saying, well, see, I'm a mean to submit to comply with, and to obey the orders of the one who have authority over you. Well, who have authority over us? God do. So what we supposed to do, we supposed to humble ourselves. We supposed to submit and comply to what and obey what he's telling us to do. Not supposed, well, you know what? I know what the Lord said, but you know what? This is what I think. Ain't nobody, listen, in the kingdom, we don't live by what we think. We live by what he say. Jesus said, I came not to do my will, but I came to do his will. We, having the spirit of reconciliation, this is what we supposed to do. If I'm around people talking racism, I tell them in a heartbeat, I said, now, as a born-again believer, I know what you're saying. I said, but do you not know it was a spirit? It's a spirit. It's satanic, demonic activity. I said, if Satan is always at the root of confusion, hatred, and bitterness and strife. I said, do you not know we can be influenced by Satan? And a lot of times we don't realize that he the only one going to whisper in your ear and tell you something bad about your neighbor. Look at him. And tell you something. Well, let me just address the church in the body of Christ. Look at him. There shouldn't be no competition in the body of Christ. But it is. Some people yell over to that spirit. It shouldn't be, but it is. And this is what Jesus was saying. We're not supposed to place offense in the path of other people. When it comes down, we're supposed to show them the right way. That's what we as born again believers supposed to be doing. And I'm telling you, like I said, it's in the body. Watch that spirit. Satan come to break agreement. Break the agreement. He don't want us to be in agreement with what God's word say. God will say, remember when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness? When Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, what did the devil tell Jesus? Not Jesus. With Eve. Remember what he told Eve? Did God say? Did God say? And he always tried to do me and you the same way. Did God really tell you to forgive people? You know you just human. And I'm telling you, when I hear people use that term, that's just an excuse for you to disobey and rebel against what God telling you to be. You had, I mean, you saying the one that created you don't know you? And I say it all the time. The Bible is a manual for life. How we supposed to conduct ourselves on this earth. How we can conduct ourselves on this earth. And like I said, Matthew 18, when you drop people say, Matthew 18:18, Matthew 18:19 said, but what about what Matthew 18 verses 1, verses 2, verses 3, verses 4, verses 5, verses 6, verses 7, verses 8, verses 9. What about them 17 verses? What do they say before you get there? Something to think about, ain't it? But like I said, a lot of times we don't want to deal with that. Oh, no, let's just look over that. And this is what he was saying. He was talking about that person when we're in agreement with God and living according to what God's word said, doing what God tells us to do, but then another person come along and entice them. We're not supposed to be, as I said, enticing people to do wrong. We're not supposed to be telling people go out here and fornicate before they get mad. We're not supposed to do that. Jesus said that there would be judgment on those that entice and seduce and cause others to fall away. One person have made up his mind to agree with God, then someone else come along with disrupted their agreement by enticing that individual to break their agreement with what they have with God. Now, if God, since I know God tells me not to fornicate, not to go out here, you know, and if somebody comes and says, oh, Prophet Miller, God understands you human, just go, don't you know if I do what that person breaking my agreement with God, if I don't make, what God said, don't do that. Oh, child, it's okay if you do. We're not supposed to do that according to what Jesus said, that you're going to bring the judgment of God on you when you do that to people. We're not supposed to do that. That's what I'm saying. Somebody always watching you. And it just bothered me when I hear people say, oh, those folks in church, they ain't no good. Now, right in the Bible, understand what I'm saying. I have to learn not to let what people say or think about me control me. But now, I can't stop people from talking about me, but it's up to me to make it true. But my point, I'm talking about people that'll go in, it's what Jesus said, entice. And that's what he was saying, that cause one of these little ones that believe in me. But if you offend one of them or cause them to stumble, that's what he addressing. You don't do that. And I see it. I had a person to come to me. And this woman, to make a long story short, this woman, and her husband had not broke up. They was in the process of getting a divorce. But this pastor told this woman that she can go date one of the deacons in the church. Yeah. So when you finna get a divorce, you can go on and do. I said, no, you can't. I said, I'm not trying to get you to dishonor, disrespect you. I said, you can't do that. That ain't what the Bible says. And I said, as born-again believers, as citizen in the kingdom of God, we supposed to be teaching and telling the people the right way to go. They might not like it. They might fall out of fellowship with you, might not want to communicate, but you supposed to tell them what is right. And like I said, read this in these the words of Jesus. These the words of Jesus. And Jesus put a woe to that man. Well, listen, one man too. If you cause one of these little ones to be offended, if you cause one of them to stumble, come on now. I know you don't, this might not be a good word. You might not like what I'm saying, but it's scripture. And this is so important. I'm telling you, that little spirit of division that invaded the church, the body of Christ. I'm not talking about the sin. This ain't addressing the sinner. This addressing the believers. I want you, Matthew 18, in this instance, it's not addressing the unbelief. It's addressing the saints. It's to the church. This is what it's talking about. And I'm telling you, we play a major part in it. We are peacemaker, not peace breaker. But now, rightly divide, sometimes when you tell people what God say, it'll cause people to be offended. Now, if people get offended with you because you tell them what the word says, okay. But if they getting offended with you because you telling them to violate the laws and principles of God, you asking for the judgment of God to come on you. That's a big no-no. You know, that's a big no-no. And like I said, he addressing the saints right here. And he would come out, how you supposed to deal with it. Get rid of it. Oh, this good word, I know it's tight, but it's right. I know it's tight, but it's right. We don't tell nobody to go out here and sin. That just it. We don't do that. We don't tell somebody. And that's what we were saying. You need to break. When you call somebody to break that agreement with God's word and you causing that person to sin, we supposed to stand against sin. Temptation, and that's what he was saying in that third verse, woe to the world for such temptation to sin and to influence to do wrong. It is necessary that that temptation come, but woe to the person on whom account about who the temptation come. It going to come. I found out when I started talking to God about the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, he started talking to me years ago about strife, offenses, and sin. He started telling me, he said, that would hinder. That would hinder. And that's why we need to resist it. We need to fight against it. Yeah, it's like I said, 1 Corinthians 12, it's many people's in the body of Christ and God calls them to do different things. But whatever God calls your brother and sister to do in the body of Christ, it will never conflict with the word of God. Never. It will never cause you to go around and gospel, backbite one another. If your brother, and we ain't got to that yet, but it'll tell you what to do if your brother offends. And y'all, a lot of time I'm finding out some people don't want to live by every word proceeded out the mouth of God. And Jesus told, he said, we must live by every word proceeded out the mouth of God. A believer ain't got no business practice unforgiveness, practice sin. I'm just going to tell you, that's just the way it works. But we got some people teach that. Let me stop right here. Father, I thank you again for your word. I give you praise. I give you honor. I give you glory for it. I pray, God, that even after we go off there, you will continue to bring enlightenment and understanding pertaining to these are laws and principles of the kingdom. And you said when we violate the laws and the principles of the kingdom, Father, we will experience consequences for it. If we call somebody else to stumble, we will suffer the consequences for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this was Apostle William Miller. We're going to continue with Matthew, the 18th chapter. We want to do it in its fullness. I pray that you enjoy the rest of your evening.